This is Chris Tannehill.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Kurt and Wheaton, you're on a build for a tough Bears Monday.
I'm watching that thing yesterday, and as it's going downhill after the whopping seven rush attempts, I'm thinking, what the heck is our head coach going to say about this? What excuse is he going to have for why we didn't run the ball? And so what I determined, fellas, is we are saying his name wrong. His last name, there was a question about how to pronounce it. I think it's actually Nagy. Let me explain why. Matt Nagy. So during the press conference, they say, why did you run the ball only seven times? Shouldn't you have run it more based on what you saw? Nah. And then later you say, are you going to solve the running game? Gee, we're working on that.
Yikes. Really?
Kurt, that's a real good nickname.
Yeah. Nagy.
Yeah. I love this guy. Always coming up with these great lines. I love him. He's wonderful. You're wonderful.
Kurt, did you workshop that nickname with anyone before you called in, or are we the first people you told this idea to?
You got it, man. You guys got the patent on that. There you go.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
Enough, Parkins. Snip him.
Some of the material, some of it is good.
Yes.
But some of it, some of the one-liners, for instance, are not very strong.
They're not very strong. In other words, you didn't like some of the jokes. Is that it?
That's right.
Nagy. Mob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nagy.
Mob.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy. Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Mob, assemble. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score. We're gonna have more fun than we did yesterday. I'm gonna make that pledge right now. That Bears game was just so miserable that I left this show in a bad mood yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, terrible. I don't know. There's just
sorry.
No, it's not you. It's not us. It's the team, man. I wanted competitive football. It's not us. It was the content is just it was what it needed to be. They got what they deserved.
Sat in the lobby of this building, the Prudential Building, on that Thursday afternoon before the Packers date on NBC to lift the lid on the season.
Yeah,
and we were talking about how this was the first time in your lifetime, and it had been a long time in mine since you go into a season as we were. Feeling legitimately like this team could be a Super Bowl team. You could go very deep into the playoffs and maybe even get to Miami to the Super Bowl. And that feeling sure has evaporated over the last 6 weeks. And I think after the Minnesota game, there was a resurrection of optimism. But boy, did that leave the building in a hurry when they got blown out by the Raiders. And then again this past week in a real stinker. So you got to sort of recalibrate your expectations. And that includes the quarterback and what you would like to see from him, what you'd like to see from Matt Nagy the rest of this season. Now I'm doing it too. God almighty, slap me hard. Slap me in the face with a shoe. I got some ideas today.
You
we'll
do?
Go over. Yeah, I do. You got to realize, like we were talking about last week, you know, and I was struggling with the slow development of an autistic child and made a comparison to another autistic kid, Andrew, who was developing at a more rapid rate. And Patrick's mother, my ex-wife Jill, says, you know what, Andrew's doing great. Let's worry about Patrick. Let's fix Patrick. So we likened Mitch to a 10-year-old autistic kid. So I did. Anyway,
yeah, you
don't want any ownership of that.
You
I
know,
can say I'm in the club, right?
Yeah, I want no ownership of it, yeah. But I did laugh at the comparison because you are able to make that from a very personal place. And I was thinking, I don't want the conversation to always just be like Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith. Like Boomer Esiason was right in that they've got to play 10 more games.
We all knew that.
I know.
He looked at it completely from a player's or coach's perspective, where
right.
He should have realized in town today that's where it was going to go.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the ability to steer away from it. It's like I can contain multiple thoughts in my head at the same time, but it's just
I don't think, you know what? I'm okay with it going that far forward, and usually I might not be, but I think we have enough evidence that the savior does not wear jersey number 10.
I agree with you. I don't think he does either, but you're not going to acquire the next guy until the end of this season anyway. And then the guy that you acquire is probably not going to be the savior. It's probably going to be a stopgap.
Right, right. Band-aid move, sure.
Right? So, well, it's a big deal because it'll be a band-aid on the quarterback position of the Bears. It still isn't going to be worth, you know, months of shows over, right? When the Bears trade up to number two and select the first quarterback in the draft and draft a quarterback higher than they ever have in franchise history, that is an organizational defining move. If the Bears trade for Nick Foles or Marcus Mariota, that's not organizational defining. That's just a stopgap for next season.
Well, and then if they draft a kid in the second round, now you're cooking with something. Now you've got potentially a little bit of depth, at least for next year. And your window certainly remains open for having a great defense, even without Danny Trevathan, if you decide to trade him or he goes somewhere else in free agency after the year.
Yeah,
it was brought up earlier today on the Score. Do you really want to trade Danny Trevathan right now with Roquan Smith's head in the clouds, seemingly?
If they lose to the Chargers, yes. I don't care about that. You have to recoup all the draft capital that you can because the season is over. If you beat the Chargers and you can convince yourself that you got an outside shot at the wild card game, then I could listen. I don't think they're going to be sellers. So this is just what I would do. I expect Ryan Pace to stand pat at the deadline. I don't think that they will trade for a player. I don't think they will trade away for
do
a player.
Nothing. I think absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing is my prediction because they don't deserve to be buyers. Why would you buy?
They would have to be of the belief that they can get this thing right enough to get into the playoffs. And coaches and players and front office people have this penchant for deluding themselves sometimes into believing they have more than they really do.
Yeah, but normally you see those moves of desperation from executives who are maybe towards the end of their contract and don't have as much job security as Ryan Pace has right now. If this season collapses, Ryan Pace isn't getting fired. So why would he make his job harder for next year and the year after that and the year after that, throwing good money after bad if this thing is over? So I don't think that he'll admit that the season is over if they lose and sell, even though I would. But I also think that he will admit to himself privately that they're not going to the playoffs, so he won't buy. So this is the team, as far as I'm concerned. I would trade HaHa Clinton Dix. I would trade Danny Trevathan if they lose to the Chargers. I would trade both of them.
The teams that trade for not marquee receivers today are the unbeatens. You get the New England Patriots bettering their offense, which is probably too reliant on Edelman. Their running game is decent. It's Edelman and a bunch of other guys, right? I mean, there's not really much going on there. You don't fear their tight end like you once did. They don't have a ton of depth, so that's a good move to get Mohamed Sanu, who's a career slot receiver, I think, and also can throw the ball. Imagine that, another team with three guys who throw the ball better than ours. And the 49ers go out and get themselves Emmanuel Sanders, so they've got more targets for Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is the time when you start to gear up if you're a legitimate contender. Like, the Patriots are buyers. The Niners are buyers. I expect the Chiefs to be a buyer for a defensive player or two. If I'm Matt Nagy, and they lose this week, I would say to Ryan Pace, hey, why don't you sit this one out? He can call up the Chiefs and say, hey, you want to give me a fourth round pick for Danny Trevathan? You need a linebacker. And just do a deal with your old team and try to get a mid-round pick for some of these guys. Because the Bears have a couple of assets there. You can get a couple of mid to late round picks for those guys. I'm not saying you're going to get anything huge, but let
Nagy make the call because everything he's touched so far this year has gone so well.
Yeah, it's not good for him right now. It's not good for the quarterback. It's not good for the team. None of it's good.
On Pace, though, I mean, you mentioned I don't think he'd be fired either. I don't think there's any chance he would be fired. Is he like the ultimate exhibit A in terms of perfect timing for changes in things? Because you look at his career. Starts off, John Fox was forced on him. You can't hold John Fox against him. Gets the extension when he goes out and he ends up hiring then Matt Nagy. Gets the extension to hire the coach because you have to have the extension there. Mitch Trubisky buys him a couple of years because he's attached to Mitch for however long that's going on. Now, it's if Mitch is terrible, it's no longer on pace because of the great timing of the NFC North Championship last year that resulted in a wild card game loss.
Yep. He is the guy who can continue to kick the can down the road because of when he has his success.
And when big-time decisions are made.
Yeah.
He buys himself years with those.
And again, I liked the Matt Nagy hire, so call it for what it's worth or whatever. I might end up being very wrong about it. But I do think that it made sense to extend Ryan Pace ahead of that coaching hire. I think that that made sense. I'm not going to go back now and say that it didn't. I think that you would be seriously diluting your chances to hire a good head coach if your general manager isn't on the same timeline as the head coach. So I think that made sense. It just looks like it all might blow up in his face because of the quarterback.
Got a lot of recognition last year, too. Got a little postseason hardware. I would not suggest that it's time to make a move, and I don't think they will. His defensive moves have been really, really good. You know, I give him very high marks for everything he's done with the defense. I give him an A. The offense, oof, that's bad. He needs some help there. Did you guys stay with the Patriots and Jets last night? I stayed with it to watch a team toy with another NFL team for 60 minutes.
Not that long, but I did come back when I saw on Twitter that Belichick was challenging plays while up 33.
Yeah.
That is an all-time gangster move.
He hates the Jets something special.
Yep.
I don't know why I even considered taking the points. Thankfully, I stayed away. We should just know, Belichick covers the spread in the division. He hates his division opponents.
Yeah.
He covers the spread against the Dolphins and the Jets especially.
And did we learn some things about the Jets quarterback last night we weren't quite sure of? I mean, some of that audio is really damning. It's compelling, and I'm sure it's not... Sam Darnold's comments are not unheard of in the league, but that doesn't go in line. It doesn't sync up with everything that's been said about this guy on his en route to year number two, that he's a great leader. He's very composed. He's self-confident. Sure didn't sound like it last night.
As a quarterback, you are holding the hopes and dreams of your entire team in your hands. You can't just throw it up like a loaf of bread. So as good as Sam Darnold was last week against the Cowboys, he's been as equally bad today. And he's getting flustered. Got to settle down.
Here's Sam Darnold on the mic.
We're going to keep bringing it. Seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
That's not good. And you already said they're going to keep bringing it. I would, too.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I think that it's fairly common to hear it on the sideline, but I don't think it's common at all for it to be shared on national TV.
He knew he was wearing the microphone, but just being himself out there. And boy, the Patriots players, upon learning this last night,
they
got quite
it.
The key. Right? Kyle, come on, feel that noise, Tanny likes to say. He stopped a reporter after somebody mentioned that that was what was on mic'd up. Darnold confessing he was seeing ghosts. The next question followed. And Van Noy stopped him and said, wait a minute, did he really say that? He wanted to talk about it some more. He goes, that's what it's all about, man. That's what we're here for.
I've seen ghosts.
I still want to see the Patriots play Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes and Carson Wentz and Lamar Jackson.
2 weeks for Lammy.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson in 2 weeks. So I still want – they have not played a good quarterback yet. I mean, the Steelers are the most disappointing team in the NFL. They destroyed the Steelers week one, and everything else since then has been easy pickings. But they look historically great.
They are historically great. After week four, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about a team leapfrogging the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, and we might have been right. There might be one in the NFL this year. It's just not in Lake Forest. It's in Boston with the Patriots. You're right. They haven't played anybody. But they have eviscerated everybody they have played. I mean, they have just gone out and smacked the snot out of every opponent against whom they've lined up. It's convincing.
Of course. I mean, they still have.
You do it seven straight weeks, seven different teams. That's saying something, even though they're not good clubs.
I agree. I mean, they still have, right, more defensive touchdowns than touchdowns allowed.
I think that's the case.
They are still on that trend through 7 weeks. So I don't care if you're playing college teams. That's remarkable.
It is.
And Sam Darnold, I still think that he's going to be good, But that was a humbling experience for sure.
Yeah, and I wonder how Le'Veon Bell is enjoying life in New York. I had that thought last night. I think it was early third quarter. He's just running a little square out, and as soon as he gets the hoochie, Dante Hightower just plants him. I mean, it was a de-cleater. And it's what makes highlight reels, and Le'Veon Bell in his little cute little green uniform probably wondering, yeah, this ain't Pittsburgh where everybody's in love with you and you're on a team that is championship caliber for several years when he was there. And now he's, I don't know if he's got anonymity in New York, but I certainly don't think he's news there this year by any stretch.
No, I don't either. I think that it's going to take him some time to get everything around him, and we'll talk Adam Gase at some point here in a little bit as well. The Patriots, I still think I'd take the field. If you gave me Patriots or the field to win the Super Bowl, I'll take the field and just say Brady's 42, the defense hasn't played anybody, Buffalo gave him a tough game, and their offense isn't that dynamic relative to past years. I think I'd take the field.
You know, you're getting experience, Danny, at the age of 33. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, radio son. You're finding out that nobody wins a championship in October. So many years we all have wanted to crown somebody because they won their first 7 or 8 or 10 games, and all too often that just doesn't play out that way. So I understand why you'd feel that way. But if I were betting on that, I'd probably take the Patriots, but I wouldn't want to put much money on that. I just think they're head and shoulders better than everybody else.
Patriots have allowed now 4 touchdowns this year, only scoring 3 defensive. So my bad.
Only three.
Yeah, my mistake.
Happy.
Stay off the Twitter and all that. And if you're going to do something like that, just wish somebody happy birthday.
Happy.
You.
Happy birthday to me. Smoke a bowl.
Thank you. Matt Nagy wishing me a happy birthday on Twitter.
I think he did. Did he?
No, that'd be nice. I don't think he has a Twitter account.
He's not on Twitter.
One of his burner accounts. He could slide in there and wish me a happy birthday to someone who's been defending him. I'm the president of your fan club, Matt Nagy. Do a better job. But yeah,
jersey
man.
Number one is going to the Raptors.
Ah, thank you, Tanny.
I knew it was in October, and I didn't check with you recently, and I feel like such a schmuck because I have nothing for you today.
Oh, don't worry
about
it.
My unbridled affection and admiration. And
I'm not an idiot.
I also got you nothing because, like Mac, I forgot what day your birthday was. But would you like me to put together a farewell show for you like we did for Dan earlier this year?
Oh, yeah, when you just book his favorite people and Mac thinks that he's retiring instead of, yeah.
Mac's like, is there going to be an executive that comes in at the end of the show?
Some people start texting in the 5 o'clock hour. Does Mac have terminal cancer? What's up? Why are you putting Terry Adams on the damn show? Dennis Shavar, you're the Mac. I love you.
Breaking Mac news.
Exactly. No, Chef, this is fine. Mitch bought corned beef for lunch, and Steph's taking me out to a Chicago steakhouse that I've never been to tonight. Bavette's very excited about it. Got a bunch of recommendations. Have you ever been?
I have not. Where's it at?
It's in River North on Kinsey.
Okay.
Like, kind of by Orleans and Kinsey.
Right by Harry's.
Yeah, I've never been, so always looking to try a new Chicago steakhouse, and you know, should be good. 33 years old. This is the monumental birthdays are in my past.
On top of the world at 33.
Feeling good, man. Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Hoops at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. This hour brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. My wife actually gave me an early birthday present last night.
Watch what you say.
I'm pretty sure it was for her.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure the gift that she gave me was for her. I will tell you what it was, and you can tell me if I'm reading it right coming up on the score.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, happy birthday to you. Got sausage for you.
Oh, thank you, Tony Soprano. It is my 33rd birthday today, and Wife take me out to a nice dinner tonight. She said, you know, I think I'm more excited for your birthday than you are. I said, you can remove the word think from that sentence. Like, she loves birthdays and spoils me and is amazing. She spoils me beyond the orange juice in the morning.
I'm surprised you're not more into celebrations of you, honestly.
Yeah, I could see that. Listen, man, my life is a celebration of me, okay? I can do pretty much what I want when I want. I've got a great gig. I'm very blessed in that way, so I don't really need an excuse to celebrate me.
Okay, but we're going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not. Tanny's going to play like drops from The Sopranos, like things from the all the things that are so Parkinsy. Rounders will probably we'll play all of your favorite music. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, Tanny, just do whatever you're doing, and there's a show within the show.
That's my plan.
Yeah, exactly. I would hope so. But
so let me guess what she got you that's more for her than you.
Okay, yeah, why don't you guys all get, because she's like, this is just a fun, silly little thing. I'll give you your real present tomorrow. But
that's fun to get like a pre-present present.
Yeah, like a last day of 32 present. Little thing that when I opened it, I realized, oh, this is more for you than it is for me.
A Fitbit. Something to do with fitness.
Okay, that's your guess. Shep, Tanny, either of you have a guess?
I was going to say along the same lines, gym membership.
Gym membership.
That way, you know, you get out of the house and she doesn't have to see you.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Absolutely reasonable. And get my chins back down to one. Yeah, that would be good.
One.
I've got a cooking class.
Shep is the closest. A cookbook. She's like,
and I was Man's Guide to Food.
It was the Snoop Dogg cookbook with a bunch of weed references throughout the entire thing.
Oh.
and it looked dining
through THC,
And it looked great.
Smoke weed every day.
And it was funny. And I was like, so is this a hint? And she's like, yeah, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Because basically all I do for cooking is I grill. If we're grilling, I will do anything on the grill. But if it's in the oven, the stove, if it involves anything like that, I am pretty incompetent. So she pulls the vast majority of her weight in that department.
Okay. You've just given me an idea of something I can get you, probably not for a birthday since I missed your birthday, but I'll get you a first day of Hanukkah. I'll get you something that could help turn your grillsmanship into indoor wonderful things.
Really?
Yes. There's a product that Shane Reardon and I exchanged thoughts on over the weekend.
She has a crock pot. We have a
crock pot. This is not a crock pot, but if you've not explored the crock, you should. It offers very little maintenance with crock pot dishes.
It sounds like it's you. It's exactly. It's a little intimidating to clean the crock pot. I feel like you throw everything in there, and then it's this big appliance that doesn't fit in the.
You clean it by hand. You get an SOS pad.
Clean it by hand.
You know, what do you think? You dump the entire thing in the sink with the plug and everything?
That's what I'm saying. It's intimidating. How you clean this thing? You can't put it in the dishwasher.
Yes, you can.
What? There's a plug.
Yeah, even a 6-quart container will fit in the dishwasher.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever washed a bowl after your cereal in the morning?
yeah.
Smoked a bowl. Have you ever washed a bowl? Well, it's like that. It's like that, but bigger. That part comes out. You don't put the whole thing in there. It's just a bowl inside that comes out and you wash it and you can put it in the dishwasher.
Really?
Idiot.
Oh my God. What a game changer. I should be crock potting all the time. I just didn't want to create a big mess that I would have to clean up. That is a great entry into learning
how to cook. You know, you just walk away from it as long as you season it properly, whatever you're going to cook. It's a great gateway into cooking.
It is. Every 2-3 hours, maybe give it a stir, give it a taste. If you need a little bit more salt.
Yeah, I keep stirring the sauce.
Don't let the sauce thick.
Texters are saying there's a crock pot bag if you're lazy.
Oh, goodness.
Like a liner or a bag that you can put.
God, they are saying that. They do have those. That sounds amazing. That's just wrong.
I mean, how much can that possibly cost?
I don't know how that works, like how you would have a bag cooking for like 8 hours with food in it and not like evaporate
Melt?
Or tear apart.
Yeah.
I find the ceramic 6-quart bowl of a crock pot to be one of the easiest things to maintenance in the history of cuisine.
It's a little intimidating is all I'm saying, which is, I mean, listen, it's also an excuse so that she may not cook me dinner.
Pull the crock pot out of the heating element. You don't put that in the dishwasher, the thing with the cord coming out of it.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. It detaches like a normal bowl. I didn't know. This is groundbreaking. I'm learning so much.
So mine has a Bears logo on it. Starting to regret that purchase, to be honest with you, but
you're embarrassed.
I got in the off season when, you know, Bears go Bears.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
We got one from Sherry's aunt and uncle, and it made its way to Sherry's farmhouse, so it's not around our house.
We got to find like a Syracuse one or something. I bet you they make them.
All these texters are saying crockpot liners. We've got 36 Jeez. People saying just 10 liners for $2. Boom.
That is so dopey. I don't know if I've heard of anything that is less
that is lazier.
Are you putting a bag? It's not just lazy. It's
you think it's going to affect the taste of the food?
Potentially. I don't know.
No. I don't know how it works.
I don't know how it works
you
either.
High temperatures in a plastic bag. What kind of bag is it?
I don't know.
Like if something's over you guys are the experts. Degrees and then for 8 hours, that shouldn't stay in the same form.
Well, I'm guessing that these liners are, you know, they're heat resistant. They've come up
so
with that.
So the food
thought
doesn't cook then if it's heat resistant.
Right,
then you get heat to the food.
The food's cold.
It's heat resistant. My food's room temperature. Well, how can people have a problem with room temperature?
I don't know why they always do. So the crock pot is more of a bowl than it is a pot, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. All right, that's very useful information. So that's going to be so proud of me.
Have you looked at any of the recipes?
It had a wake and bakey, and it was like a bacon dish that looked pretty good.
Okay.
And no, other than that, I read the foreword by Martha Stewart because okay. Snoop Dogg will commercialize anything,
right?
And he'll take money from anyone, which is another reason why I respect his hustle.
Is the book just like one long bit, one big joke?
Yes,
pretty much. There's no actual recipes in there.
It's one long bit with pictures of food and like some weed jokes. That's basically what it is. And so, you know, I thought it was appropriate. I thought it was a nice gift for her. It was like when Homer got Marge a bowling ball that said Homer on it, and it was really just a gift for him. But all right, Hanukkah, you're gonna make me a cook?
Yeah, I've got a product for $40 that you're gonna absolutely love. Now you do have a balcony where you can grill outside,
oh, yeah.
even in inclement weather.
Yeah, I grill in the winter.
All right, this is this makes it easier. You have, I imagine, gas.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you get to come over and switch the tank when you need?
It's the manliest thing I do.
Is that
that and hanging pictures?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, hanging pictures and switching out the gas tank. I'm going to the hardware store to get the propane refilled. I feel so cool. Doesn't it sound like
manly?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, very manly. I'm like, I carried this thing all the way to the elevator.
I'm glad you said refill. I thought you'd get a new tank every time.
I did that once. It was a huge mistake. I realized that you could do the refill.
Oh,
it's way cheaper. That was like 5 years ago when I learned that. You could just refill your own propane. It's incredible.
The crock pot is easier to clean than your grill.
Well, especially because of these liners.
Stop texting about the liners already.
Bottom of the out. And texters like, is your wife not a good cook? No, she's an awesome cook. I think she would just like a little help. She's enabled
little
me.
Little help.
She's enabled me for all of these years. Shocking, I know. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats have Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at nusports.com. We got another animal analogy with Mitch Trubisky, so our list is growing.
Has Dan Hampton been on the station?
Well, we're going to discuss all-time Chicago animal analogies, so I'm sure that the animal will be there, but this one might be better than the one we got on our show yesterday. It's coming up on The Score.
You know, the old saying that, you know, the cock may crow at daybreak, but the rooster didn't make the sunrise. Well, I think that's kind of like Tommy Harris.
We all did. What a disruptive D-tackle does.
What is that?
Crows at sunrise.
Okay.
When I don't want to say the other word that he started with.
That's good.
Take a tug of the Dan Hampton Sea and say,
this segment brought to you by Fast Park and Relax Indoor Airport Parking, serving Midway Airport. Traveling from Chicago's Midway Airport, park with Fast Park and Relax and enjoy indoor parking. Just 2 minutes away for only $11 a day, Fast Park's van will take you to your terminal on time every time. Visit them at thefastpark.com for reservations online. No walking, no waiting, never alone.
That was a good choice. What song was that you picked? For your musical bed birthday.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here.
Do you know?
I have no idea. I don't even remember.
Danny, I like that. What was that?
That was House of Jealous Lovers, Rapture.
Okay. Mm. I gave it a thumbs up.
All right. Yeah. Well.
I was moving a little bit.
Yeah. Feeling good? Feeling the rhythm? Feeling the right?
Yeah, it's good.
Getting up. It's popsicle time.
Popsicle time.
So, all right. Yesterday on the show, we have Mike Lombardi on the GM Street podcast make an analogy about Mitch Trubisky involving dogs.
The dog's dead. Quit kicking it.
Yeah, the dog is dead. Quit kicking it, basically. He said it's over with Mitch Trubisky. Sunk cost, it's done. Well, today, Sage Rosenfels washed all over us with Bernstein and McKnight, and he gave a new animal analogy.
If I were the Bears, I know maybe I'm too far ahead of myself here, but I think he is just as fault as is whoever is designing this offense. So maybe is that Matt Nagy or the coordinator, but I think they're equally bad. I really do. I think they're equally bad. And I like the players they have. They're different, but I like the players that they have, and they have their different skill sets. It doesn't seem like the O-line is working very well together. There's guys that are unblocked sometimes, and doesn't seem like they have much of a game plan for these various blitzes that they're seeing in that game, and they didn't get to sort of a blitz check until late when the Saints were all up, which feels like to me there's like not great preparation going on in game planning. So, I think there's a lot of issues on this offensive group here, coaches and players, but obviously it's always easy to blame the quarterback for everything.
Can they fix the offense while fixing the quarterback? Is that a process that can happen at the same time as you're trying to win games against the Chargers on Sunday?
There is a phrase I used my rookie year. I was told my rookie year by my offensive coordinator, Jimmy Ray, who's this longtime coordinator. He said, you can't train a horse in the middle of the stream.
But you can fly him to the Kentucky Derby.
On a
How
plane.
The hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly him. They put him in a plane.
You can't train a horse in the middle of the stream.
So we've got an untrainable horse who's also a dead dog.
The dog's dead. Quit kicking it.
At quarterback. That's not good.
Well, there is a solution in this mess.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't pretty when they went to Denver in week two and you were wringing hands as much as anybody I heard on the station the next few days.
It upset me.
They put training wheels on him. That's what you have to do with this kid. That's what you got to do. You got to do with him what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson with a very difficult road assignment this past Sunday in Seattle when he passed only 20 times, but for the third time this season rushed for more than 100 yards. Mitch threw what, 45 times was it this past week, or was it 54?
54 for Mitch this week.
54 times. Lamar Jackson's high is when they were chasing the Chiefs all day on the road when he threw 43 times. He also has a 20 attempts game, a 26 attempts game, another 20 attempts game, 33 passes, 34 passes, 37 passes, and a high of 43. Trubisky's average is well ahead of that, but Lamar Jackson is very effective when he runs. He moves the chains. He extends drives. And that's what Mitch Trubisky needs to do. They need to stop thinking about him as being some wonderful thing that you're just going to marvel at every time he goes out and have him throw 35, 45 times a game. It ain't working. So you use him for what he does best. You got to have him run.
Well, I called for him to be running more 4 weeks ago because it's disappeared. And now Chase Daniel has more rushing attempts than Mitch Trubisky. The Elias Shep Bureau uncovered that nice gem. It's disappeared. It's gone.
Do you realize he has one fewer rush than Chase Daniel has?
I just said that. Right? That's what Shep said?
One fewer rush than Chase Daniel.
Yeah. It's
in stereo. We're available.
It's reverberation. This show. It's an echo. It's unbelievable.
My bad.
No, it's totally okay.
$20 kangaroo court.
It was just like literally the sentence before.
Okay,
I said that, and then you said whatever. But it's remarkable. It's gone away completely, and I don't know if it's that he is hurt, but I don't.
I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, like what is going on? But I don't know why it's gone. I don't think it's just going to miraculously come back and he's going to start running the ball 10 times a game.
Then you're still going to have this mess where they're struggling to get first downs and you're always going to be chasing.
Yes.
You got to play with the hand you're dealt. He wasn't the guy you thought he was going to be, So find something he does well. Running is something he does well.
Allegedly.
He's hurt last week. Well, not allegedly. We've seen him run well.
Not this year.
No, he hasn't tried it much this year. And I wanted him. I can't have it both ways. I was among the guys who wanted him to continue to look downfield before he makes that decision. And he has, but I think he needs to make that decision to tuck it in and go away.
Yeah, I would love that. But Matt Nagy, for some reason this past week, wouldn't even roll him out. So forget running. Like, how about just moving and not dropping him back straight in the pocket it's 1998? Yeah,
if he's healthy enough to play, and Trubisky said this last Wednesday, and I know they're just words, but he said if he's healthy enough to play, everything's fair game. Prove it this week. If you're healthy enough to play and that shoulder is okay, run. Run and find a way to protect your shoulder.
I think that would be fantastic. And as for the Lamar Jackson count, Lamar Jackson is 10 times the talent that Mitch Trubisky is. He's a real player, man.
He's a very strong guy on his feet, too. He'll lower the shoulder on you, and we don't need to see that. But just to be elusive and to, you know, make that decision and pick a target and get to it to move the sticks, he's been terrific.
Yeah, and still coming into his own, and a guy with a huge ceiling, obviously, and still developing as a passer, but it feels like Mike Vick. It feels like he's this generation's Mike Vick in terms of an athlete at the position. Did you know that Mitch Trubisky has one fewer rushing attempt than Chase Daniel?
I'm reaching for $20 right now in my pocket.
Who the Hawks? Just put it to the lunch fund. I should not be this.
No, that's kangaroo court. That's unacceptable, man. That's unacceptable, and I'm embarrassed. I am embarrassed.
Well, what about when I did it?
Yeah, right.
When I said you could wash the crock pot.
You could wash the crock pot. And then Max said, you know, you could wash the crock pot. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
$40 in the first 50 minutes of the show, huh?
I'll see if I've
changed. You got change for $100?
Yeah, I actually
change. I made money on it.
I actually do. Yeah, I have change for 120s from the poker game last week. So yeah,
lack of sleep is no excuse for not paying attention. All I got to do is pay attention for 4 hours, then I can go back to being vegetable boy.
That's bro. We could talk about your lack of sleep.
Nah, we don't have to.
You don't want to. Okay, sounds good. NFL trades. What you have to give up for what you get back. I looked at some of the Patriots draft picks.
God, I'm embarrassed.
It's okay.
I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry, Danny.
It takes a lot to embarrass me, too.
It was literally the sentence before, which was so awesome. It wasn't like three sentences before. The sentence.
See, I was preparing the dramatics of expressing the thought and didn't hear a word you said.
It's McNeil.
Just waiting until your mouth stopped moving.
It's McNeil and McNeil on the score.